All right, I want to read the scripture that we started with on the last time, and this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Well, that's wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is a healer. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Not might. Shall be. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. This is an account of a man who was not a covenant man. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He was in the military. He was an officer in the military. And also, he had a knowledge of this word that is our subject, authority. And we're calling this teaching, a series of teachings, the believer's authority. The believer's authority. The thing, they came after Jesus and they asked a question of him found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. You don't need to turn over there. I can just share with you what happened. He came into the temple where the chief priests and the elders were and so forth. And they said to him, by what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority? And Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing. If you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John. Now, was it from heaven or was it from men? And they reasoned within themselves, saying, well, if we say it from heaven, he'll say, well, then why didn't you believe him? And if we say it from men, then we fear the people, for all the people knew John was a prophet. So they just said, we don't know. Jesus said, well, neither will I tell you what authority I do these things. See, if they had answered his question, they would have answered their own question. See, this authority. So there is a natural authority. And the Bible talks about that in Romans chapter 13, talks about human government, talking about natural authority. But there is an authority that's higher than natural authority. And that is spiritual authority. And that's the kind of authority that we want to learn about and learn how to operate in. Because I think the devil's been doing too much in this world. And we need to cut him off. Are you following what I'm saying? And this is a very interesting thing here. This man here who wasn't a covenant man, meaning that he wasn't in the synagogue every Sabbath studying the Torah, but he seemed to have a revelation of something. He seemed to have a revelation of the authority of God. And he said to Jesus, he said, you don't need to come to the house. You don't need to lay hands on my servant. All you do is just release words. And your words will do what you say. Isn't that something? And your words supposed to do what you say. I mean, think about it now. When I was in the military, we had a system set up in the military that you were under authority, meaning that it was the top brass or the generals, and then you had the colonels, and then you had the majors and captains and lieutenants and so forth and so on, all the way down to what we call peon. No, I'm just kidding. What we call a private. And this is an individual who had no rank at all. He was the lowest. But the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. The least person in the kingdom of God can cast out devils. The least person in the kingdom of God can lay hands on the sick and they do recover. In fact, when you first get born again, the Bible says that you can praise God and still the avenger. That is, you don't know how to operate in warfare yet. Only thing you know how to do is say, praise God, praise God. And when you say that, it'll make the devil shut up. So I'm just saying right now that you and I have something to say about what's going on in this world today. We're not just here on cruise control going through this earth until we die. We are here to establish a new kingdom called the kingdom of God. And God, Jesus has sent us here, and that's what we're going to do. Praise the Lord. So I'm just saying it's time for the church to rise up. It's time for us to not only have the authority, but start to execute that authority. Just don't let the devil run in and out of your situations, in and out of your house, just at will, in and out of your mind. No, we can shut him down. We can say things and do things, and that enemy has to obey us. Say amen to that. Now, I wanted to take you to another place. Let's go to Matthew's gospel and chapter 18, please. Matthew chapter 18. Amen. Matthew chapter 18. This centurion. Now, notice what he was. He was a man where? Under authority. So the Bible says over in James chapter 4, resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. Did it say he might flee? Nope. Said he's going to flee. But it gives one condition that you can resist God. It says first, draw nigh to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Meaning that you come under authority yourself. And then you will have authority so that you, my hand is heating up now. Must be something going on in here. All right. Look what it says over here. And this is found in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound where? In heaven. And whatsoever you shall what? Loose on earth shall be what? Loosed in heaven. Now, this is binding and loosing. Now, if you'd like to, you can put in your Bible, whatever you forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth is permitted in heaven. My point to you is, what he's trying to get over to you is, to forbid something or permit something is not up to God. It's not up to God. As a matter of fact, I made a statement here. I wrote it down, and I want you to hear this statement. Nowhere in the New Testament church in the Bible is the New Testament church told to pray to God that the Father or Jesus would do anything against the devil. Nowhere or no time in the Bible, in the New Testament church, that the New Testament church is told to pray to God that the Father or Jesus would do anything against the devil. That's not in here. That is not in here. Now, saints of God, we got to come out of this religion. Because we, you know, we've heard expressions like, well, the Lord knows how much I can bear. And meanwhile, the devil beating you up and kicking you all across town. What I'm saying is, yeah, but you better get him off you. You know, it just don't let these things keep going on. This is up to you. It's whatever you do. And so we've got to do something about that. Now, we were starting a church down at Lake and Pulaski there on the west side of Chicago. And then a lady came in one night and just came in. She was almost panic stricken. She was crying. I didn't know her. She didn't know me. We had just started down the little storefront church. And she said, oh, she said, are you the pastor? I said, yes, I am. She said, they're selling drugs on my street. And I'm telling you, every day at 4 o'clock, they come out there and sell them to way in the nighttime. And people are driving from everywhere, coming, buying drugs all up and down our block. And our kids can't play and nothing like that. I said, okay. I said, come here, let's pray. She got in a circle, we held hands. And while we're there, the Lord spoke to me. He said, get some of that oil over there that you anoint people with for healing. And give it to her. Give her the whole bottle. And bless it. That when she comes, tell her to pour it down the street. In her neighborhood. Now, let me share something with y'all. Ready for this? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hey, the devil is a liar. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are what? Called. But God has what? Chosen the who? The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the what? Weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. Why? That no flesh will glory in his presence. God doesn't want any flesh to get the credit for it. So what did I do? I'm under authority. I'm listening for God. I'm not listening for her no more. I heard what the problem was. I don't want to know no more about that. I want to know now what God's going to do about it. Because understand, I'm not operating without being under authority. See, I'm listening to what God. Now, I got to listen because it might be a foolish thought. Because it's coming from another kingdom. And this kingdom out here is perverted. So I'm going to get the truth from God. And he said, tell her to get the bottle of oil, bless it, and tell her to pour it down the middle of the street. I said, the Lord telling me to tell you to get this bottle of oil, go down in your neighborhood, start at one end of the block, and go to another, and pour this oil all the way down that block. She took that oil. You know, when you're desperate, you'll take the oil. You see, yes, sir. Some people don't take it because they're not desperate enough. You know, we still trying to be cute. And what you got to do is get desperate for God. Say, no, I won't. Give me that oil. Are you following what I'm saying? And what happened? She took that oil. She went down in a block and poured that oil down that street and came back in there about 3 days later, said, Pastor Woodson, let me tell you, I did what you said. And do you know, the next day, nobody came. And then the next day, nobody came. And then the next day, nobody came. She said, I just came over to tell you about it. She said, I guess about a week later, they came out there for 2 days. The devil came to check. And the anointing was still there, so they didn't ever come back again. Now, I'm just saying. See, I'm a man, what? Under authority. See, God can do it, but he can't do it without my permission. I gotta be willing to do what God said do. And folks, life is not a struggle. It's only a struggle when you're trying to do it yourself. So what you and I need to do is back up, come back under authority, ask the Lord what to do, and do it. Say, do it. That's all we have to do. Now, he wasn't going to fix it. You're going to fix it. But he works with your authority. You supply the authority. He supplies the power. And it works every time. Say amen to this. Now, this is something we need to see. Here's an example of authority. Here's a policeman. Now, this policeman is on the corner, and he's directing traffic. Okay? Directing traffic. Now, everybody's stopping when he says stop, and they go when he says go. Now, suppose when he says stop, this person refuses to stop. Now, what are the policeman's options? Well, he can write him up. He can call in some other cars. Or he can just pull out his gun and shoot the rascal. Just shoot him. Okay. No, I'm hoping he won't do that. Okay. What does he have on? He's got a uniform on. And it distinguishes him from just anybody out there flagging traffic. Then not only does that he have a uniform on, he's got a badge. You see, in the spirit, you have a badge. So you may not be able to see it in the natural, but you can say stop in the name of Jesus. See that? And that's what we can do. And we need to exercise that authority. So what happens is when the person doesn't stop, then they stop because they know that that policeman is not the only one that's got that kind of suit on. Come on now. If that man wants to rise up against that authority, that policeman can call for backup. And if the backup is not enough, he can call for some other precincts. And if the precincts are not enough, he can call for the National Guard. If the National Guard is not, are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying God will supply as many angels for you as he needs to supply so that the job that you spoke will be accomplished. Because you are the one that's running this earth. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. I got something to say. Now, can I give you a secret? We've been studying righteousness, and we're talking about the nature of divinity. But let me tell you something about righteousness. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. All right, that boldness is very key. Because when you're condemned, you're not bold. Not for God. But what you have to do is you have to shift out of that timidness and shift over into boldness. Because when you're bold, you can hear clearly. And see, you got to hear because God's going to give the instruction. Jesus said, I don't do anything except I see my Father do it. God is speaking to him and telling him when to go, when to come. Don't go there too long. Come out of that river, you know, whatever it is that you might be in. Praise the Lord. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Okay. Let's look. What did I tell you to turn? Matthew chapter 26. All right. I just want you to look at what's happening in Jesus's life. Look what he says here in verse 52, if you will. All right. Now, this is when they were about to take Jesus on that time that they would now interrogate him and leading to the crucifixion. Look at verse 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall what? Perish of the sword. Now, he's not talking about armies, but he's talking about people who take people's lives in a premeditated way. Look at verse 53. Thinketh thou that I cannot now pray to my who? Father, and he shall presently give me more than how many? 12 legions of angels. How many are 12 legions, somebody? How many is a legion? And somebody said a legion is 6,000. So if you got 12 times 6, okay, 72,000 angels. Well, hey, I looked in Revelation and one angel chained up the devil. I looked back in the Old Testament and one angel slaughtered 144,000 men. One angel. Now you got angels with you. Turn to Hebrews, please, in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Let me know when you get there. I said, let me know when you get there. Look at verse 1, chapter, pardon me, chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy what? Footstool. Are they not all ministering who? Spirits. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be what? Heirs of salvation. So once you get born again, you get assigned angels. Now, here's the hierarchy. You ready? God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Under that is you. Under that, come on, angels. Angels are not a higher order than you are. You got more rank than angels. And under angels is Satan and then demons. Now understand, his organization is very, very organized. He's got principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. All this is his organization. And they are very organized, okay, just like a marching army. So we have to be under authority. So let's say, and just put your truth down in your notes, authority is God's plan to protect his people. Authority is God's plan to protect his people. Okay. Remember now, there's a higher authority than the natural authority. All right, let's look at chapter 2 and let's start reading there. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, I'll just stop right there. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, what is he talking about there? He's talking about angels. And he is saying this. If we neglect the ministering spirits called angels, how can we escape the onslaught of what Satan is trying to do to our lives or in this world? You can't escape it because you have authority to tell them what to do. And it comes out of your mouth. Now, God works with this whole picture, but he said the angels hearken diligently to his word. Now, you got to hear what I'm saying. Now, I'm growing you up in this thing. Now, this is important. Let me tell you why it's important. Because you're seeing on television and in the movies, there's a lot of horror shows on there. A lot of Friday the 13th, Monday the 15th, a lot of things going on. And because of that, it's continuing to paint a picture of the power of evil. And it's trying to build a picture in people's minds that they have no control. That Satan is more powerful than God. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, some people don't like to hear this kind of talk because they're scared. Come on, but you're not afraid. But I remember, you know, I used to be going, you know, those movies. I didn't want to go to them, but I kept going to them. Are you following what I'm saying? And they would try to build an image in me of all this power that the devil has. And what I'm trying to tell you is the devil started out in the garden as a snake. But he ended up in Revelation as a dragon. How did he get that big? In people's minds. They built him up. The devil is defeated. All of his power has been stripped. The only thing he's using now is deception. It has been stripped. He has no more power than we give him. None. I told you last time, I spoke and said, hey, we got the devil where we want him. And so I told you about that man that ran in the church that time, talking about, ha, ha, ha. And the deacon said, oh, Mr. John, deacon, why are you breathing so hard? I got the devil on the run. They said, well, that's good. He's chasing me. Well, we got to get him on the run. It says, resist the devil and he will do what? Flee. Man, flee. You put him on the end of the word of God. And the word of God is a sword. And you take that sword and that yoke that you, what you do, folks. Those thoughts come in your mind that are not godly. Cast that thing down. Cast it down. That's what it says over in 2 Corinthians. It says when those thoughts come in there, you can cast down imagination. Now, if it said you can cast it down, it means you can cast it down. I like what one man said. He said, you can't. Somebody said, well, God, how, can I keep myself from thinking those things? He said, listen, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you sure can keep him from building a nest in your hair. That's what I'm talking about. Now, we're going to go into this because authority is key. You see, what happens is sometimes we don't know where we stop. And what our responsibility is and what God's responsibility is. Our responsibility is to say it. God's responsibility is to do it. But you have to have faith that what you say is going to come to pass. See, that's what I'm, are you following what I'm saying? Say amen to this. And I'm telling you, folks, this whole idea of righteousness, this thing really connects into there. It is very, very important. All right, let's just go to one more place then. Let's go to, now understand you've got angels. How many got angels with them? Okay. Now, how do you put angels to work? They hearken diligently to what? The voice of the word of God. So if you're talking something like my feet are killing me, the angel's not going to help you. They just back off and let you do what you want to do. Come on now. But if you start saying by his stripes, come on, I'm healed. Now you're getting some help. So you can't go by how it looks. You got to go by what God said. The angels are covenant enforcing agents. CEAs. And their job is to enforce what God has promised you in this earth. Amen. Their job is to carry it out. Say amen to that. Amen. All right, let's go to the last place. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 8, please. Matthew chapter 8. Amen. See, the devil's trying to carry your money off. You know, I'm telling you, we're going somewhere with this here. Because, see, Lord Jesus. Sometimes I don't want to say things because it goes too far. See. I don't want to trip nobody out. I don't want to make it so you know, I don't know about it. You know, I want you to stay up with me. But you'll get there. Jesus said, there are things that I want to tell you, but you can't receive them right now. Say amen to that. Amen. Yeah, I just, this section over here. I don't think there are no haters over here. God bless you. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 8. Now, I wasn't going to take long tonight because I knew we had a program, had some things working. But here's my point. No time in the New Testament has it said that the church to pray to God and the Father or Jesus that he'll do anything against the devil. That's not in there. You do something about it. While you're at Matthew chapter 8, just to look at John real quick. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Amen. See, whatever the devil has of yours right now, it's stolen. Everything he's got is stolen property. And I'm the repo man. How many repo men, women we got up in here? We going to repo. I ought to write a book called The Repo Man. Okay. That's kind of like, I know in the hood they call the police Pawpaw. Where'd that name come from? Pawpaw. Popo. Popo. Okay. All right. All right, look what it says in verse 12. Look what it says in verse 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And what? Greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going where? I'm going to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask when? How? In my name, keep going, that will I do. That the who? Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. See that word ask? That word ask in the Greek means to demand. It doesn't mean to petition God to do something about your situation. It means you demand it. You remember when the man was at the gate beautiful and he was placed there every day? And then the book of Acts in the third chapter, and here was a man placed at the gate beautiful, and Peter and John came by, and the man was a beggar. And he was crippled and had never walked, and I guess never walked, and the man asked alms of them. And they said, Peter and John, looking on the man, said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Watch this. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they took him by the hand and he leaped and walked. Folks, that's why the theme of our next mission conference is back to Acts. Folks, we're going back to the Acts of the Holy Ghost. We need to see some more miracles in the church. Ah, Lord. So what happened? The man leaped and walked, praising God. As a result of miracles like that, 5,000 people got saved. Everybody knew that man was crippled and had never walked. But here comes Jesus in the person of the disciples, meaning that they were under his authority and they used his name. You see, there are some people that even in the ministry here, they'll say, Pastor Winston told me to tell you, you know. But then they get some attention. But my point to you is, sometimes you got to call a name to get folks to do something. Say amen to that. Well, when you call his name, He's got supreme authority over everything. And whatever his name, whatever he did, his name is sent to do. So you call his name and his name does the work. Lord, have mercy. That's a revelation for you. What am I saying? Whatever you ask in my name, whatever you demand in the name of Jesus, devil, come out of him. In the name of Jesus, I command every unclean spirit to leave my house. In the name of Jesus, I command the spirits at this job, in this office right now. See, wherever you come, wherever the soles of your feet tread upon, that belongs to you. You represent the kingdom of God. Folks, you got to get bold. You got to... Are y'all following what I'm saying? Amen. You in the mirror in the morning, your hair won't act right, you step back. In the name of Jesus, we cooperate. Nah, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. Okay, let's look at this. Where did I tell you to turn now? Okay. 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 All right. Look. All right. Last place. Come on down here. Matthew 8:28. And when he was coming to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment me before the time?" Amen. What's going to happen to Satan in the end? He's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. To be tormented how long? Forever. He knows there's a time. Come on. But what he's doing is he's challenging Jesus. He's saying, "Wait a minute. I know who you are. Amen. You ain't a man, you God. And God can't touch me without a man."
That's right.
So back off, Jesus. But he didn't understand the virgin birth. He didn't know that Jesus was fully God and fully man. Are you following what I'm saying? Turn to one more place, okay? John chapter 5, yeah. Have you got it? Look at verse 26 and 27. "For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him" what? "Authority to do" what? "Execute judgment." Why? Because he is the what? Son of man. God can't do it. Not without a man. Why? Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." Watch this. "And let them have dominion." Let them have dominion. Dominion means authority. So if I got this watch and I'm going to give it to somebody else, and I give it to them, just playing now, just give it to them. Just give it to him. Just give it to him. Now watch this. Who has the watch? Who has the dominion? We do. Who has the authority in this earth? Come on. We do. He gave it to us. Never took it back. You still got it. Satan stole it. Jesus got it. So now, if I want to do something and use this watch, what am I going to have to do? Ask permission. God needs your permission and your participation. And the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give the Lord a praise for it. Praise God. All right. Now, let me just say this. It's key for you and me to not only be hearers of the word, come on, but doers as well. So when you go home, on the way home, on the way out, whatever you do, do something to exercise your authority on this earth. Say amen to that. It, within the next 24 hours, use what you've been taught here today. Just use what you've been taught. Praise God. Say amen to that. I mean, maybe you're going downtown and you need a parking space. Claim one. So I claim a parking space right in front of the bank that I'm going to in the name of Jesus. Now let angels go and get you a parking space. Isn't that wonderful? Give the Lord one more hand clap. We just bless him. Praise God.